Have you ever been to a T-ball game? If you've ever been to a T-ball game, you know what it's like for a bunch of kids whenever they're playing T-ball. It's just like they hit the ball and they all run to the ball. They don't pay attention to what the coach says. I got a little grandson who's 3 years old now, and he's playing T-ball. Well, the coach had to put a box out in the middle of the field. Time, you stand there. You stand there, because this is until the game's over. And of course, little Ben looks at him like this, and then as soon as the guy turns his back, he jumps out of it. Are we like that as Christians sometimes? Are we not like that? That's the point I'm trying to get across. There are times, brothers and sisters, God's trying to get a point across to us, trying to beat something into these hard heads, and I'm just pointing to me as well, trying to get us to understand something. And we're just like those kids at T-ball. God says, you know, here's what it is. Then we look up and then we jump out of the box. So I think that whenever Greg has mentioned this morning about it, I like confirmation. I like to segue into stuff as well, too. So if you would, I'm going to be starting in Acts. I'm going to be a lot of different places. But Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And Lord willing, whenever you get there, let's stand and read it together this morning in honor of God's word, if you can. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4. I'm going to be a lot of different places in the Bible, so you just bear with me. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as unto fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And when the day of Pentecost has fully come, let us pray. Father, whenever we come here this morning, Father, we come with nothing but thanksgiving in our heart, Lord. I pray, Father, this morning, Lord, that you would just reach down, Lord, that you would open hearts, that you would open minds, and that, Lord, that the word would go out. Get me out of the way, Lord, because I can't do nothing without the anointing this morning. I can't do a thing without that. And, Lord, I pray, Father, that hearts would be opened and that understanding would be opened here this morning, Lord. And, Father, we will give you the praise and we will give you the glory that you so rightly deserve. And we ask it in your Son's name, Jesus. And amen. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise his name this morning. I know sometimes I don't like to say the word pound, but sometimes I try to preach a lot about the Holy Spirit in people's lives because I want to tell you something this morning. And I've preached it, and I've told it, and I want you to understand this because this goes for young and old alike here this morning. Without the Spirit of God in your life, you are none of His. The Bible says that. It's not Dave Long standing up here. And why I'm telling you that this morning is because I love you. Because I love you wholeheartedly. Because I don't want no one to go out of this world without understanding of what I'm trying to tell you this morning, that the Spirit of God will indwell every Christian. That's what will happen. But sometimes we feel that the Holy Ghost just come upon the scene in Acts chapter 2. But that's not the case. That's not the case. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, I want to explain something to you. The Holy Spirit showed up in the very first verse. It showed up in the very first verse. You say, how's that, Dave? Let me read it to you, then I'll explain. In the beginning, God. You need to underline the word God there. Because you know what the word means in the Hebrew? It means Elohim. That means it's plural. Do you know what that means when it said in the beginning God created? It means in the beginning God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created this world that we live in today. The Holy Spirit showed up the very first moment. Don't let anybody tell you that it wasn't. I'm here to tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit is important. It is important to all of our lives. So mark the word God, because I mean, you need to understand that. That means Elohim. So without insulting your intelligence this morning, that's plural. And that's what that means there. That's God the Father, God the Son, and that's God the Holy Spirit. So listen, so the Holy Spirit was there from everything was formed. It says in Genesis 1:2, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and as the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth, that's when the creative power of God was unleashed. That's when it was unleashed. But can I tell you something that blesses me more than even that? That's powerful. But do you realize that that same creative spirit that the Holy Spirit released indwells every born-again believer? It indwells each of us this morning that are born again and saved. So very plainly, the Spirit has always been there. No one would argue that creation power is powerful. When you know a God that can take nothing and make what He has made out here today. It says He made it out of nothing. Nothing. The word creation means nothing. And God created everything. That same power indwells us. If you go over to Acts 1:8, it says this, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be both witnesses unto me, both into Jerusalem and to all Judea and into Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Brothers and sisters, the same creative power that God unleashed through the Holy Spirit on the day of creation is in every born-again believer. The power is available to the New Testament church. That's us. That's us that are called by His name. And John the Baptist said this in Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's two different things right there. Understand that here this morning. He said, I would baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and He said, I would baptize you with fire. Both. Those are two different experiences right there. Don't get that confused. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. That is important. He said, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's two different things mentioned there. The same is the same but different. There's a guy up work that says that all the time. It's the same but different. That's an oxymoron. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, but they are different, brothers and sisters. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. They're two different experiences. Whenever you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and then the fire. You say, well, how's that, preacher? Let me tell you. When you are saved, like I told you, the Holy Spirit indwells you. It indwells your life. It comes into you. You know that you're saved. But you know what it'll do after that? Understand this. It'll ignite a fire within you. You know what the Holy Spirit will do? It'll clean house in your life. That's what it means whenever it says that it's going to there'll be you baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. It'll ignite something within you that will take the and cleanse you and take out the trash in your life. Exactly what it will do. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you've been saved this morning, the Holy Ghost comes into your life and it will take and it will show you what's wrong. Bob had said something about smoking. I'm here to tell you this morning. The Holy Ghost comes into your life, it'll clean house. It will clean house. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking? I'm telling you, it will clean house. Clean house. Well, most of you don't even know this in here. Did you know I used to smoke? Did you know that? I bet a lot of people in here don't even know that. But I used to smoke, and that's been years ago. The Holy Ghost took care of that. Amen? Amen. I'm here to tell you, He will clean house on you. I'm not that you say, well, preacher, now I'm telling you, He will clean house. And listen, He's going to clean the house and make a clean sweep in your life. He'll place everything in the proper place that it should be in. He'll do that. And everything that is false, He will put out with the trash. You'll be a consistent witness for Jesus. I want to read something else to you there in that one in chapter 8, and I want you to understand this. For you receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be a witness. Mark, you will be a witness in your Bibles. You're not going to be a witness for your denomination. Can I have an amen? You're not going to be a witness for your ideologies and for what you believe. My Bible tells me when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will be a witness for who? For Him. You say, well, I am too timid. I'm here to tell you something this morning. Whenever the Holy Ghost comes in your life, you're going to not help but put it out there that you want to let the world know what God's done for you. You can't help it. You can't help it. Listen to me. When somebody asks me, and I'm going to give you, this is maybe a bad example, but if somebody asks me about my wife, I love to talk about my wife. You understand me? I love my wife. I love to talk about my wife to other people. Let people know what she's like. Listen to me. If you've got the love of Christ in your heart, you're going to want to talk about something that you love. You're going to want to talk about something that you love. That's what you want to do. And you say, well, you know, so I'm just kind of timid. Well, can I tell you something here this morning? You know what? I was timid back in the day as well. I didn't want to stand up. God's got a good sense of humor. You know that? He made this old boy that would not hardly stand up in school to do anything to become a preacher one day. And you know, he can do the same for anybody. But praise God, once I got saved, I had no trouble talking about Jesus. He made a difference in my life. And everything the Holy Spirit indwelling you will make a difference in your life. That's what it says. You'll be a witness. You'll be a witness. Not for a denomination. Not for your church. I love Drifter Church. I love Gospel Mission Church. But Brother Sidford, I'm talking to somebody. I'm not going to tell them about Gospel Mission Church and about Drift Run. I'm going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that I want to witness to. He's the one that I want to witness about. Praise His name here. Too many folks are more in love with their church or more in love with their denomination than they are with the one that saved them one day. We're not called to be a witness for our ideologies. We're not called to be a witness for our beliefs. Brothers and sisters, we go out. I talk to somebody that's lost, they could care less about what I believe about certain things. I want them to know what I believe about Jesus Christ. That's the witness that I want it to be about. Praise His name this morning. And you know what? We're not called to be that, because you are a witness for Jesus this morning. Every one of us is. It's a love affair. It really is. It's a love affair with Jesus. How do I know that? How do I know? It don't take me long. You know, the Bible says that by their fruits we will know them. Ken, you know, it don't take me very long talking to somebody. You know what it says? Out of the abundance of the heart, what speaketh? The mouth. It don't take me long to find out if somebody loves Jesus. It don't take me long to know what people think about the Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what the Bible says. It don't take long. The Holy Spirit will bring unity to the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now listen to me. I don't care if it's a church in Ripley. I don't care if it's a church in Ravenswood. I don't care if it's from Morgantown. I don't care if it's from Parkersburg. I don't care if it's from Timbuktu. If you're drinking from the same Spirit that I'm drinking from, our witnesses will bear witness with one another. Amen? It will do that. We should be able to worship with any Christian that there is. We should be able to worship with them and love them and go into it. We should be able to do that, because the Bible says here, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. That's all of us. There's just one Spirit. Is drinking from the same Spirit, you'll know it. I know it. We all know it. I'm not that I'm any better than anybody else in this church, because if you're saved, you'll know it. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. No, the way they worship may not be our cup of tea, listen to me here this morning, because sometimes we are too judgmental about some things. The way that they worship may not be our cup of tea. The more important question should be, though, are they drinking from the same spirit that we're drinking from? Amen? Listen, the Lord has backed me off on that down through the years, because I've got to the point where I was pretty judgmental about some things. I was. When the way some churches worship, the way they did this, the way they did that, God said, hey, hold on, Dave. Let's back off here a little bit. And then he showed me this scripture here. Are they drinking from the same spiritual cup, the same spirit that you're drinking from? He said, don't judge. And I've had to learn not to do that. You know what? Sometimes maybe it's not their fault. Maybe it's our fault sometimes. Maybe it is. Because sometimes we want to, you know what we like to do sometimes when we're that judgmental? It's like the Bible says, we like to strain in a gnat and swallow a camel sometimes. It's very judgmental about the different styles of music and the different styles of worship. Yeah, we've heard that from different things down through the years. Different way churches do their service. We can be quick to judge. I'm reminded of the story of David and Miguel. You know, you remember that story back? I think you taught about this a while back, or maybe Ken or somebody taught about it. Remember David after they got the Ark of the Covenant and they were coming back into Jerusalem? And as they were coming back in, David started dancing and praising the Lord. And what did Miguel do? She started chewing on him. She started chewing on him. Said, well, that isn't the way you should act. That isn't the way you should do it. David's told her, and this is something that I like about this. And then reminded, David said, I want to read it to you if I can find it here real fast. And David said unto Miguel, it was before the Lord which chose me. I did it to the Lord. I was doing it for the Lord. Praise His name this morning. I don't care if you want to shout. I don't care if you want to dance down the aisle. I don't care if you want to do what you want to do. Just make sure you're doing it unto the Lord. Praise His name. Sometimes we look at that kind of stuff and we think, well, I don't want nothing to do with that. We stick our nose. I'm here to tell you this morning, brother and sister. Her aunt spoke in tongues more than anybody I ever know. And that woman right there, she's in heaven this morning as well as I know it. Don't be telling me that people don't speak in tongues. It's got to be done right, but people speak in tongues. There's a spiritual tongue. I know what it's like. I know what it is. Brother and sister, we cannot be judgmental when the Spirit is working. And David said to Miguel, it was before the Lord who chose me. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you'll know. Brother and sister, the coordination with the Bible, the Holy Spirit is our guide. Did you know that? There's no doubt it's our guide in John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you. Mark in your Bibles, He will guide you. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do when you don't know what to do. There have been times in my life I had no idea what I should do, how I should do it. I've been on my knees trying to pray. Alita, no answers would come. Nothing. And I'd be praying for different things. The Spirit does those utterances. The Bible tells us that whenever those groanings, whenever we know not what to pray for, my Bible tells me, just like the FedEx driver, that it grabs those moanings, those groanings, takes them to the throne of God, and brothers and sisters, it can bring them back. You know what? And either answered or not answered the way that we want them. But brothers and sisters, God knows what He's doing. He will guide you. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do when you don't know. The Holy Spirit will show you what to say when you don't know what to say. It will. The Holy Spirit can give you revelation knowledge. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit can give us revelation knowledge? You say, where's that at? It's over in John 16. It's over in John 16, 13. Howbeit, now listen to this. When the Spirit of truth has come, it says He will guide you unto all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He, now get this, mark it, He will show you things to come. Did you know that? He will show you things to come. And people say, well, that's revelation. That, yes, it is. That's part of it. But brother and sister, I know also for a fact that he will show you things that you don't know about coming in your life and in your family's life. He'll put something upon. There'll be something, a heaviness that will come over you. There'll be things that come over you that sometimes, and God is preparing you. He'll show you. He can show you revelation through the Holy Spirit. And brothers and sisters, in this world in which we live in today, when truth is abstract and truth is whatever you want it to be, I'm here to tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit is truth. John 14, 16, and 18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth, I'm going to say it again, the Spirit of truth, when the world out there wants to tell you that truth is abstract and truth is whatever you want it to be, you as Christians should be able to stand up and say, no, there's only one truth, and that is the Spirit of truth. Can I have an amen this morning for that? The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. You see why? The world will never understand it. They're not going to understand what the truth is. They're not going to. They can't. The world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. If you're a Christian this morning, you know the Spirit. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How did Jesus left? He left us and he said, I'll send a comforter. Who did he send? He sent the Holy Spirit. That's who he sent, which dwells among us today. In a world where truth is whatever you want it to be, the Holy Spirit says, no, I am the truth. I am the truth. Truth is, the Bible tells us truth is a person. And that person is the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't know and doesn't want to know and it cannot know. It's what it says. But Christians know. Don't let anyone persuade you any different. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 6. I'll give you a second to get there because I think this is important. Because brothers and sisters, there is a difference. It says this here. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is a spirit of truth. We know, I told you what it was, that's the Holy Spirit. There is a spirit of error out there. And brother says, we as Christians should be able to discern that. The Holy Spirit is involved in our prayer lives. Like I told you earlier, Romans 8, 26 and 27, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Brother said, like I said earlier, there's been times I've had heaviness in my heart. Not knowing what to pray for. I have. There's been times in my life that I had no idea how to pray. But I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit knew. The Holy Spirit knew how to take care of it. The Holy Spirit allows Christians to love in situations impossible in the world's eyes. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. This is important. Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Now get this. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by what? The Holy Ghost. That's how it spread. And I'm going to read that again. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You may be asking yourself, how can we love the unlovable? I'm going to lay it out there to all of you. How can you love the unlovable? The murderers. The rapist. The molesters, those that commit genocide. And you say that stuff and people sit back and, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, through the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. The only way. We cannot do this stuff on our own. You want to know the love of God that passes all, you know, the love of the peace of God that passes all understanding, and the love of God that's beyond all of our measuring? It's through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 34 through 48, ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the what? The children of your Father which is in heaven. This is rough. Can I tell you this right now? This is hard preaching. Because I'm telling you right now, I have, in my mind, I have little use for a child molester. None. Jesus said there's value in that soul. There's value in that soul. Now you say amen or oh my. But Jesus said there's value in that soul. Also, Jesus said, for all, he said, I come into the world that all might be saved. He didn't come through this world picking and choosing. If somebody is the Holy Spirit convicting someone and they come to an altar to be saved, I'm here to tell you, Jesus will save them. How many of you have ever heard of Jeffrey Dahmer before? Remember him, how terrible he was? What he did? Do you realize before he got murdered in prison that Jeffrey Dahmer had got saved? You say, oh, how's that possible? Because of the power and love of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful. I'm here to tell you this morning, I am thankful that Jesus Christ didn't look down upon me one day and tell me that because I was lost, I was undone. I was just as bad as Jeffrey Dahmer's. Because if you are lost and you're undone, you are just as bad as the worst person on this planet. Whether you think about it or not, you are. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the only way. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is giving unto us. The only way that you and I can have that kind of love for anybody is by the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. The only way. One last thing, and I'm going to be done about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the resurrection power. Did you know that? Yeah. Romans 8:11. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. You want to live in Resurrection Day? You got to be saved. You want to make sure that your body, you say, how's that? Because you know what? On the day that the trumpet sounds, the Spirit of God is going to take the bodies of those in the ground. It's going to lift them up. It's going to lift them up out of the ground. It's going to make new spiritual bodies out of them. And can I tell you something this morning? Those that are alive and remain, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we, by the Holy Spirit, are going to be able to go to heaven with a new glorified body. I praise God, the resurrection power of God, the same resurrection that brothers and sisters that on that first Sunday morning, amen, that same resurrection power indwells in each and every one of the Christians here this morning. Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Praise His Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18. I want to read this to you. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that are dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. I'm telling you, I've got hope this morning. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And them which were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Comfort one another with these words. I'm here to tell you, that same resurrection power the Holy Spirit put upon Jesus Christ on that day. Praise his name this morning. It's what's going to raise us up out of the grave one day. It's going to change us one day. That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. That's how, you say, and I want to tell you this morning before I go any farther with this. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not. The Holy Spirit's not an it. It's part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is God manifested in three equal things, three equal powers, three equal parts. And brothers and sisters, that's how it works. That's how the Bible says that it is. Three divine persons in one God. The Holy Spirit should never be referred to as an it. I praise God this morning. Listen, thanks. Thank you. Thank you for segueing and helping me segue into that this morning. But I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit has to indwell in his people this morning. It has to. Julie, let's get a song. Let's get a praise. Let's get a song this morning and overhead. And if you got that need, please come. Please come up here this morning.